You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. This week, a Yale student suspended from the university for allegedly raping another student back in 2015 was found not guilty in a New Haven criminal court. The diverging accounts of the two students will sound familiar. A female student says she was raped on campus after a night of heavy drinking. The male student in the case says their sexual encounter was consensual. But the fact that the trial unfolded as it did in court rather than in a campus proceeding makes it different. Here, the anonymous female student reported the incident to campus authorities and the Yale Police Department. The case then became one of the few campus rape cases to make it into the criminal justice system. With us to speak about the case is New York Times reporter Vivian Wang, who has been covering it. Hello, Vivian.
Hi.
For listeners who haven't been following this, can you tell us what the complainant says happened on Halloween in 2015?
So the complainant's account was that she went to an off-campus party and then found herself at an on-campus orchestra show. Her friends had disappeared and she was with the accused student, Saifullah Khan. She threw up a couple more times at the show and he walked her back to her room. And then the next thing she said she remembered was finding him on top of her. And then the next morning she woke up, realized she was naked, and saw used condoms on the floor. And her argument was that she had been in no state to give consent. She had bruising on her knees. This was not something that she had wanted.
Under federal law, universities are required to investigate sexual assault charges reported on campus. So how did the internal investigation unfold?
So the internal investigation resulted in the student, Saifullah Khan, being suspended. But according to defense lawyers who spoke to us after the verdict was rendered, the university postponed the disciplinary hearing until after the trial. So it is possible that some sort of disciplinary hearing will now pick up now that the trial has concluded, although a Yale spokesman declined to confirm or deny any sort of internal complaint.
And you interviewed a number of sexual assault victim advocates for your reporting. What was their take on what happened in this trial?
The activists were very disheartened and upset to see some of the questioning done by the defense. They asked the complainant about her Halloween costume. She dressed as a cat and asked why she hadn't gone as Cinderella in a long flowing gown. They parsed some of her text messages with the defendant and said, well, you sent him an emoji, you sent him an exclamation point. Doesn't this mean that you were excited and interested in him? The response from many of the activists and advocates that I spoke to was that none of this behavior signals consent, and to home in on it and say that it does is a form of victim blaming.
Say a little bit more about how Yale evaluates whether or not a sexual encounter was consensual. How do they figure that out? What do they do that's different from a trial like this one?
So the way that Yale's procedure unfolds is that once a formal complaint is brought, there is a fact finder who interviews witnesses from both the complaining student and the responding student. Both students are brought before a panel and allowed to tell their stories. And then the panel renders a judgment, which then goes to an administrator to make a final judgment. Another difference is that Yale's internal hearing processes revolve around Yale's internal policies. The orientation workshops and the trainings that students are put through from the minute they set foot on campus teaches them an understanding of consent and certain expectations for sexual encounters that don't necessarily map perfectly onto criminal definitions. And so something that may not be permissible on campus, either according to actual campus policies or just according to campus culture, is not necessarily illegal.
The case unfolded in the wake of the Me Too movement, but at least one of the jurors interviewed for your story said that didn't impact jury deliberations.
Yeah, I talked to two jurors after the verdict was rendered, and both of them said that it didn't factor into their deliberations at all. I know that one of Mr. Khan's lawyers, during his closing arguments, actually urged the jury not to get caught up in the Me Too movement. He accused Yale of essentially trying to play into the current political moment. But the jurors I spoke to said that's not what we were focused on. We were focused on, was there enough evidence to show that she could not consent, and we couldn't get there.
Vivian Wang is a Metro reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much for coming in, Vivian.
Thanks for having me.